The reading is on page 1201 in the Church Bibles, and it's Hebrews, starting at chapter 1, verse 1, and going through to the end of chapter 2 and verse 4. That's page 1201 in the Church Bibles, and Hebrews 1:1 through to 2:4. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits, and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last for ever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. This is God's word. Amen.
Thanks, Owen. Good evening, everyone. It's great to see you. Please keep that open in front of you. Let's pray for God's help, and then let's look at this part of the Bible together. Our gracious and loving Father in heaven, we thank you for your words, which are life and light to us. Please, tonight, as we think together, as we open up this part of your word together, would you speak a word to us? A word in season. Father, you know where each of us are at this evening. You know the things going on in our lives. And above all else, we need to hear your voice, your words of challenge, your words of comfort, your words of life. Father, please continue to show us Jesus in all his greatness, that we might cling tighter to him. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you of a certain generation will know the word FOMO. Anyone know that? I think it'll appear on the screen in a moment. There you go, just in case I'm not clear enough. FOMO. Anyone know what this means? Any other teenagers want to tell us what this means? Matt? Fear of missing out. Okay, this is a phrase that you use. You might put it somewhere. FOMO, fear of missing out. Fear is a powerful tool, isn't it? It drives you to do all sorts of things. And there's this thing called FOMO, fear of missing out on something. It might be something your friends are doing, something going on that you're not part of, and you're afraid of missing out. Well, in my youthful coolness and trendiness, I want to give you a new phrase tonight. Okay, I'm going to introduce a new word to the youth vocabulary. And here it is. It's DOMO. Are you ready? You want to say it with me? One, two, three.
Domo.
Oh yeah! Look, see, look, we are down with the kids tonight. I tell you, domo. But here's what it means. It means danger of missing out, not fear of missing out, but danger of missing out. This happens in all sorts of settings in life. For my kids, coming up at their school is the summer school concert. Now, the summer school concert at my kid's school is big business, okay? Every aunt and grandparent and kind of adopted grandparents, they want to be there because they want to see the kids performing these songs and singing their hearts out. And, you know, you have a good cry because it's the summer concert and the kids that are leaving all say goodbye and they sing a really emotional song. And everyone wants to be there, but there's not enough tickets to go around. And so when that email drops into your inbox, and you see that it comes in, it says tickets are available, you have to act fast. But if you're having a day where you're a bit distracted, you're a bit busy, and that email just steadily drifts down the inbox, then you're in danger of domo, in danger of missing out on the summer concerts. Now, why do I start there? Why do I want to give you this phrase this evening? And actually, I hope it'll be a phrase that's helpful for us as we go through this letter to Hebrews. Well, I give you this phrase because the pastoral heart, the loving heart behind this letter, for writing this letter of Hebrews, is that the writer knows that those he's writing to are facing domo. They are facing the danger of missing out. It's a very real danger. And in fact, as contemporary listeners, as those reading this letter, the danger is the same for us, danger of missing out. We too face domo. Now that begs the question, doesn't it? It's all well and good to throw out that phrase, but what are we in danger of missing out on? What are we going to miss? What's the danger? Well, one word. We're in danger of missing out on salvation. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. You kind of have to pick behind what the writer's saying because he hints at things here. In chapter 2, verse 3, speaking to them, he says, "How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation?" That's the subject in his mind as he warns them, as it was read to us by Owen. I hope you picked up there was a warning sense to this. You're in danger here of missing out on salvation. Now, the writer doesn't spell out for us here what that salvation is. He doesn't kind of explain it and unpick it because those he writes to, he presumes that they understand. A bit like me speaking to a church full of people that are understanding the Bible already. If I say the word salvation, most of us sitting in this room think he must be talking about Jesus. And that's the same for those he writes to. That's what he's talking about, salvation. And he's already hinted at in this letter what that salvation might be. So come with me back to chapter 1 and verse 3. "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." Salvation has to have something to do with the purification of sin. The purification from the very things that keep us from God, the very things that keep us from heaven, the eternal Sabbath rest. And as we go through this letter on Sunday evenings, we're going to have this salvation fleshed out for us. You know, what is it? But it's got a destination, which is our eternal salvation, eternal Sabbath rest with God. But these readers, these people that he's writing to, face domo. There's a danger of missing out on this great salvation. this future destination of life with Jesus. Now, for some of us sitting here, that may kind of start to raise some alarm bells. Because you're thinking, well, hang on a second. You know, lots of us are trained to know, aren't we? And we know Bible verses that say, well, if I am saved, if I'm trusting Jesus, then I'm safe, aren't I? I'm safe for that eternal salvation. Why is that now a danger that I might miss out on that? And for some of us, that may unsettle us a bit. But the shock of this passage that we've read together tonight is that it's not talking to people who are walking around blatantly rejecting the message of Jesus. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to people who say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I believe in this salvation from Jesus Christ. But these people, the Christians that he writes to, are in danger of missing out. Missing out on the eternal and final salvation. Now, how? How are these Christians that he writes to in danger of missing out on salvation, that eternal, final salvation? Well, they're in danger of missing out. If you look at chapter 2, verse 1, it says there about drifting away. You see that, chapter 2, verse 1? We must pay most careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away. People will miss out on eternal salvation because they drift away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that little term, drift away, we're going to just think about that for a few moments. It's actually a nautical term. It's a boat term. So you think about a boat that is heading for a harbor. It's got its course. It's set for a direction. But as it kind of gets there, the captain is a bit careless, and the boat is sucked away or dragged away by currents and tides, and it drifts off course. It drifts away. So it never reaches the harbor because it's drifted away. And that's what it's talking about here. That danger is true for those of us who are Christians. That we can have our course set. Yes, I believe in Jesus, but there's a danger that we drift away, that we get pulled away, that currents push against us, and eventually we just go nowhere near our final destination. Now, the imagery of drifting is quite helpful, and it's quite important imagery, because actually it captures the idea of something happening slowly, at times unnoticeably, until suddenly you're miles away from where you want to be. So as I think of many of friends of mine who are at some point have said, yes, I believe in Jesus, but are now nowhere, it wasn't an overnight, aggressive, I don't believe this anymore. Actually, what it was a drifting away. Just slowly and steadily drifting away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Followers of Jesus are in danger of missing out on eternal salvation because we drift away. Now, let me just give you some real examples of how that can happen, just from my own friendships and people I've pastored over the years. It can happen in some ways by never dealing with the doubts that you have. I want to say to you, as you look at the Bible, that there are doubts. Doubts will come up in your mind, doubts about what we believe, doubts. But if you never deal with them, if you never address them, if you never speak about them, if you never try and understand them, then those doubts have the opportunity to take root, and then eventually they just sort of drift away. You drift away from the Lord Jesus. For some, drifting away happens by breaking habits, the habits of attending church, where we hear the gospel and are reminded of all that is true from the Bible. And it could just be, well, I miss a meeting here, or I'll miss a meeting there. And then it becomes habit, and then it becomes easier to do. And eventually, people have just drifted away, allowing other things to fill your time so that you just don't have time anymore for Jesus. Allowing other voices to be more dominant in your life, the voices that you listen to, that you have a preference for. When it comes to following Jesus and you find that those times are tough, that can be like a tide that just pulls you away. That was what was happening for the people in this letter of Hebrews. Things were tough. The cost was high for following Jesus. And what happened was it just caused a drift. It's easier not to follow Jesus. It might be for some of us a slow and steady disobedience to Jesus. We know there's something in our life he doesn't want us to be doing, but we want to cling on to it, and slowly but surely that just causes us to drift away. Drifting away from Jesus is a very real danger. It is gradual, it is almost at times unnoticeable, but its devastating impact is that it can steer us away from the harbor of eternal rest with our Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the answer? What's the answer to domo, to the danger of missing out? Well, look at chapter 2, verse 1 with me again, will you? Chapter 2, verse 1 says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. We must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard. Now, what does he mean? It sounds like obvious. It sounds like it doesn't need much explanation. But chew on it for a moment and think about, what is he saying to us? What does he mean? Is he talking about just making sure we listen to it lots? The gospel lots, the message of Jesus lots, increase its quantity in your life? Well, he might mean that. That's a good thing, because the voices we listen to most are the voices that have the most impact on us. Or is he meaning, actually, look, this is something that you just need to hold on tighter to. Make sure you keep it close. Actually, the words translated here, pay most careful attention, carry this sense of keeping something in close proximity. You know, we have those things that we keep near to us, don't we? Because they're precious to us. We don't let them out of our sight. You know, the things that are important to us. You tap your pockets when you leave the house to make sure you've got your keys and your wallet because you want them in close proximity to you. Do you keep the gospel, the message of the Lord Jesus, in close proximity to you? One scholar I read this week, and I thought this was quite helpful, and I can't vouch this because I'm not a Greek expert, but one scholar said this week that this phrase, pay most careful attention, is actually also a nautical term, a boat term. And it's used, when you read it in the boating setting, about anchoring yourself to something. So drifting away is a boat term, but so is this idea of paying careful attention, anchoring yourself to the truth about Jesus, the truth that comes from Jesus, which I thought was quite a helpful picture. It's a helpful phrase, isn't it? Anchor yourself to the things you have already heard, to the gospel that has been preached to you. So be deliberate. Be deliberate in listening to and obeying the gospel. That's the answer to domo, to the danger of missing out on salvation. Let the message of Jesus that he has spoken to us be the dominant voice in your life this week. Let it be the voice that shapes the way you do this week. It's only as we anchor ourselves to Jesus will we reach the eternal destination of eternity with Jesus. So what's the answer to domo? Pay most careful attention to the message about Jesus. Anchor yourself. Drop down your anchor and make sure it stays there on the gospel in whatever ways that you can do that this week. Friends, can I ask you, are you drifting? Are you drifting from Jesus? Do you find yourself kind of just slowly pulled away by friendships, by life, by work, by whatever it may be, doubts? Are you finding yourself drifting? Will you pay most careful attention? Will you take deliberate steps to anchor yourself to the message that Jesus gives? Now, you might be sitting there thinking, okay, I get that, I get that that's true, but why? Why should we anchor ourselves to this message? How do we know that it is a message that's worth anchoring ourselves to? And with the rest of our time, I just very quickly want to point out three reasons to pay most careful attention to this gospel. And this is how this letter works, okay? So if you're interested in this kind of thing, there's a lot of kind of exposition. So he unpacks some truths, and then he hits it home with an exhortation, a kind of a command not to drift away. And so actually what he does here is, in this letter, is he builds up an argument, and then he says, so do this. And so we're going to look at the argument. Why pay attention? Here we go. First of all, pay attention to the message because of where it comes from, because of its source. I've recently watched my son putting together his CV. So he's off to have his first job this September. And he's been putting this CV together. And basically, as you look at it, it's just a giant list of reasons why somebody should employ you, right? It's a verification of why you are good to have on their team. Or think about if someone ever hands you a business card and it's got all those little letters after their name, if you've got all those kind of things. Those letters mean something. It's not a typo. It's not that someone slipped up on the keyboard. It is that those letters verify that person as someone you should listen to. And chapter 1 of Hebrews, it is a CV for the Lord Jesus. It is a list of letters after his name that say, this is why you should listen to him. This is why you should anchor yourself to him and what he says. So let's have a look, shall we, at what the letters are after Jesus' name. Look at chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, we must pay most careful attention, therefore, to what we have already heard. Now, the therefore, why is it saying? Well, you've got to pay attention for all the reasons that he's just given you in chapter 1. And what has he told us in chapter 1? Well, look at chapter 1, verse 4. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Now, this starts to get a bit weird for some of us, unless you're massively into angels, okay? But what follows in chapter 1 is a comparison of Jesus to angels. And as you follow through this comparison, Jesus comes out way superior to angels. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, okay, so what? But this is really important because to the Jewish believers that this letter was originally written to, angels were big business. Angels were the messengers of the Old Testament law. They were mediators of the message. And so angels, if they delivered you a message, you listened. They were like pretty high up the authority chain. Now, you may not be thinking this evening, well, angels are that important to you, but all of us will have some scale of people we'll listen to. For these people, it was angels. Angels, I listen to them. They carry authority. There's the message I should listen to. But we will all have equivalents in our life of people we should listen to, people who are high up the chain. If that person speaks, I'll listen to them. You may not be able to name that person, but I guarantee you have it. But what we're shown in chapter 1 is that whatever voice that is for you, whether that's the angels, or whether that's a friend, or whether that's some institution that gives you information, whatever that voice is, Jesus is up here. He's way above it. So let's look at some of the letters after his name. Why should we listen to him? Well, 7 quotes from the Old Testament. And we're going to fly through these. If you want to look at these in more detail, please do come and ask. But 7 quotes from the Old Testament that back up the 7 things we were told about Jesus in the sermon we looked at last week, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And so what are we told? What are the letters after Jesus' name? Look at verse 5. Who did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. He doesn't say that to any of the angels. But what is the letters after Jesus' name? He is the Son of God. Now, both these quotes from the Old Testament are meaning more here than he's just the son. These are royal, kingly psalms. And the idea of sonship is that he is the royal son of God. The king. So chapter, Psalm 2, where the first quote is taken from, it is about the nations raging, and God says, I'm going to put my king on Zion, my hill, and he's going to reign, and he will conquer all the enemies. And on that moment, when he puts Jesus on that hill, that stalls him as king, he says to him, you are my son, today I've become your father. So this is bound up. Who is Jesus? Why should you listen to him? Because he is God's royal son, the king. And again, the second quote there, I will be his father and he will be my son. Jesus has eternally been the son of God. But at a particular moment in history, at his resurrection, Jesus was given the status of the ruling, reigning, royal son. You should pay most careful attention to him. Verse 6. Again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. If the message that came through angels was to be listened to, then how much more the one that the angels worship? That's how high up he is. you should pay most careful attention to him. Look at verse 7 to 9. In speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. They have a task to do. But verse 8, about the Son, about Jesus, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. The Son isn't just a king. The Son is God. And he has a throne over this world. And that throne, how long will it last? It's a forever throne. Do you see that verse 8? He rules with righteousness and with justice, verse 9. This Jesus is the source of the message of salvation. So you should pay most careful attention to him. Look at verse 10. He also says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. Jesus has made all things. Jesus will never wear out. Jesus isn't limited like we are. So you should pay most careful attention to him. Look at verse 13. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? God the Father has got a plan that's unfolding in this world. He's subduing all his enemies. And Jesus is the one carrying out that plan. You should pay most careful attention to him because of who he is. Now that is someone to listen to, isn't it? I don't know what letters you have after your name. Anyone have any letters after the name? I don't think I do. I can make some up. But that is some serious letters after your name, isn't it? And that is someone we should pay most careful attention to. Why should you listen? You should listen because the source of the message is Jesus, the eternal Son of God. That's why you should pay most careful attention. That's why you should anchor yourself to what he tells you about sin and about salvation and about eternity. Secondly, we should pay most careful attention to this message because of its consequences. So you look at chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. For since the message spoken through angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? If the old message given to Moses through angels had consequences for obeying it or disobeying it, then how much more the message of Jesus? See, there's a question in verse 3. How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? The answer to that question is, well, you won't escape. You can't escape if you ignore the message of salvation. Now that word, look carefully at verse 3. That word to ignore means to neglect. So if you neglect this message, which loads of us in this room have heard and heard and heard, if you neglect that message, then actually we will miss out. There are consequences on ignoring that salvation. Now, we're not told here what those consequences are. As a reader, you're kind of left hanging, you're left wondering, well, what are those consequences? But as we press on through the letter, we discover it's the consequences of domo, missing out, danger of missing out on eternal salvation. So here's an incentive. You want an incentive tonight to anchor yourself to the gospel? It's consequences. Third reason, pay most careful attention to this message, to Jesus, because of its seal, because of its seal of approval. Look at, again, chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Why should you anchor yourself to the message of Jesus this week? Because the miracles that God did to accompany this message back this message up. the miracles that he did through the Lord Jesus, the miracles that the apostles performed as this message went out for the very first time. Jesus was a man accredited to us, we're told in the book of Acts, by signs and wonders, so that we might sit up and listen. Heaven put on a fireworks display when Jesus turned up in all the miracles that he did, so that we might pay attention to him and that we might not drift from him. Friends, we must pay careful attention to this message because it comes with the seal of approval, with heaven's signs to say, this is the message that you should listen to. So three reasons. Are you still alive? You still with me? Three reasons to pay careful attention to Jesus and his message of salvation. Its source, it comes from Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who has been set up as King of this world and who lasts forever. Its source is why we should listen. Pay careful attention because of its consequences. What you do with this message has consequences. And pay careful attention because it has been sealed with miracles. So friends, here is my new word for you this evening. I don't know if it will take off in youth culture, but here it is. Domo. Do you want to say it with me one more time? Give it a bit of hip hop if you want to as well. Like, domo. Come on, why am I the only one saying it? That's how it's going to be, isn't it, really? It's going to be the letter. Go on, let's say 1, 2, 3. Domo. There you go. Danger of missing out. What are we in danger of missing out on? Eternal salvation. Why are we in danger? How are we in danger? By drifting away, by slowly and steadily letting the currents of the world or the difficulties for following Jesus just drive us off course. What's the answer? How do we not miss out? We anchor ourselves to what we've already heard. We anchor ourselves to Jesus because he is the one who proclaimed this message to us. Will you be deliberate this week in anchoring yourself to this gospel, to listening to Jesus? Will you help one another to do that this week? See, when someone's drifting, it often takes someone from outside to say, hey, I think you're going off course here. Why don't we come back? Why don't we anchor ourselves to Jesus again? And if you're here tonight and you wouldn't call yourself a believer, then thanks so much for listening in. But actually, I want to say to you that actually this is how we take hold of salvation for the very first time. Actually, we take hold of salvation by anchoring ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who speaks salvation to us. And he is the one who will get us to eternal rest. And we must stick with him. Why don't I pray some of that in, and then we'll sing a song to finish that up. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we thank you for the warnings of Scripture. We thank you for the warnings to us that if we drift away, then we will miss out on a great eternal salvation. Father, please, would those warnings do their work in those of us who are saved tonight, keeping us clinging tighter to Jesus. Father, please, with these warnings, drive some of us tonight to run to Jesus for the very first time, that we might not miss out on that eternal salvation that Jesus gives. Father, please help those of us who are drifting, who feel like we're drifting at the moment, to cling tighter to the Lord Jesus and to his message of salvation. May we pay careful attention to the things we've heard as the truths that we need to hear. Father, for those of us who are trying to help those who are drifting, give us grace and help this week. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing in response.